there is glory among the nations. Proclaim his wonders among the people. Declare his glory, the glory to his name. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name.
My soul and sing. you. Glad you're part of our 10:30 worship today. A lot of guests here today celebrating with your senior, part of our senior class this year, and we're so glad you're here. The Lord has led you to First Baptist Church to be a part of this time of worship. Take a few moments, though. Welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
It's good to be with y'all this morning. As we come here to just recognize our graduating seniors, our senior class, this has been a class that Heather and I have been a part of, you know, pretty closely with our youngest in this group and just seeing them and thinking back. It's funny how things work out. This week has been Jack's birthday. So through Facebook, I've been getting different memories popping up on my Facebook feed of different things that we've done. There was one from a birthday party that we had at the house where I think it might have been eighth grade. Chase, you had the cast on down your leg. Was that eighth grade year? Yeah, so eighth grade year, we had them all over hanging at the house and beating each other with pool noodles around the house and just hanging out and just thinking back to lake day birthday parties and just thinking back to being out on the water and pulling them around and I was gonna tell one on McCormick. No, I really wasn't gonna tell it, but it's a good one. When you gotta go, you gotta go. So there's a good one. From all the campouts, and I was telling Kel earlier, we got pictures of him standing in Heather's boots because he brought one pair of shoes to the campout and ruined them right off the first few minutes, and he's wearing a pair of Heather's boots running around the campout all weekend down at Buck's Pocket. All the memories of just y'all and watching y'all grow and playing sports, playing music, acting, all the things that y'all have been a part of, it's been a blessing. It's been awesome to see y'all grow together and just what a tight-knit group y'all been. Man, it's just tough to be here in this moment right now, but I'm just proud of y'all. And so just thinking about this moment and where we are, you know, I tell y'all, and I say it every year, and it is, these times that we come to in life, these graduated moments where we come to an end of one phase and we start another. This is just the prime time. This is just the moments where we can step, sit back, and just look back at where God has brought us. Look back at what we've been through. Look back at our childhood, things that, you know, maybe we thought were the end of our world, or things that we got wrapped up in that we thought, oh man, this is everything. Things aren't going how I thought they would go, and all this stuff, and how much emphasis we put on that. But now we can look back and think, wow, that really wasn't that big of a deal. You know, I've got through it. God got me through it. And we can look back at those times and see where God has pulled us through the things and how we have survived. And with this class, as Joel said in the first service, and he'll say again, and and the things that y'all have been through, through your time through high school and as a nation, the things that we have been through and fought through, y'all have the blueprint. Stay focused. Stay true to God's word. Stay true to his calling. We have been through COVID. We've been through hard times. We've been through some of the roughest we've seen in world history. And we see that God is true through everything. And so that's what I hope that you will be able to look back and reflect and then see as we stay close to him, as we stay in his word, y'all can be leaders. You can be leaders and lead others through trials, through times of hard times, of whatever we may face. Staying true to his word, he will bring us through. So this morning, as we look and as we look forward, and as I come here to encourage y'all and challenge y'all and to just give you a message, I felt laid on my heart this weekend, or this past week as we've been at the beach, 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, starting in 18, Paul tells us, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Who is the wise, or where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has God not made him foolish and made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You are going into a world, whether you go into practice law, whether you go into engineering, whether you go into med school, whether you go straight into a field and start working trade and do different things, no matter where you go in life, no matter where your journey takes you, you are going into a world that does not register with the message of the cross. To the world, the message of the cross is foolishness, no matter where you're going. It says it in Scripture, and we see it every day in the world that we live in. And so as we think about what the cross is, where you're going, and the world you're going into, I wanted to look at the cross this morning. And this is the cross that I put up in my yard. I just thought it'd be the picture of a cross that I had. So if we see what the cross symbolizes, first of all, it is a symbol of a Roman way of torture, a Roman way of execution. First of all, God has turned it from that awful symbol to the symbol of hope and love and redemption. And the people that Paul was writing to when he was writing to the Corinthian church, Corinth was kind of like Hollywood in the Greek world. Corinth had a lot of influence. The things that came out of Corinth spread throughout the regions around them. They were kind of like that influencer, that leader, like we see today in our world. So they were looking for wise. They were looking for wisdom. They were looking for philosophers. They were looking for a new way of thinking. And when Paul went to them, he went to them in simple fashion. And he says, down in 2, I came to you. I did not come with eloquence of human wisdom. I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. All he did was preach the simple message of the cross. He made it a point not to try to be eloquent, not to try to be like the philosophers. The message of the cross is fact, it is true, and it is what we need in our generation today. The world you are going into is just like the world that he was speaking to in the church in Corinth. But as we look at the cross, as we look at It's vertical member and it's horizontal member. So we see that everything, I like to think about, and I've seen it and heard it different areas, but the vertical member of that cross that supports everything, it is planted. This one is planted about 7 feet in the ground, but it is planted in the earth. You are called to be in the world. God put us here for a reason. He puts you in the world, but you are always to be reaching upward. You are always to be looking to Him. You are always to be in His Word, gaining strength, and following His purpose. Our relationship with Him is represented in that vertical member. And that supports everything else. That has to be our first and foremost priority in life, is to build that relationship with God. And through that, then that second member, that cross member, which Christ hung on, represents our relationships in life, represents our relationship with our future spouse, represents our relationship with our future children, represents our relationship with those who we go to school with, those who we will be co-workers with. Everything else in this life rests on that. That represents all of our relationships, how we live. And if we don't have that relationship with God, when I built this one, I notched halfway into the cross member, halfway into the vertical member, and I put them together, and that cross member actually sits inside that halfway. They're both notched halfway, and I put two bolts through them. It's rest on that. That supports all our relationships. If we don't have that relationship with God first, God cannot lift up our relationships with everybody else and everything that we are a part of. But if we build that relationship with Him, He will lift them up. He will lift us up. He will bless you in all that you do. He will walk with you. He will give you insight on the things that are coming. There are trials coming. There are things coming. We wish we could plan. We wish we could look ahead and wish we could know exactly what to expect and have it all go our way. And I love Rick Burgess's testimony about what he went through in college. When he was in high school, he was a good football player. He was being drafted, or not drafted, but he's being recruited by all the colleges around, all SEC schools, all these big schools that he thought he was going to play for. Middle of his senior year, boom, blows a knee out. As soon as you blow a knee out, they quit calling. So he rehabs, he gets better, he heals, no D1 schools. He ends up getting a scholarship to go to Troy to play football. He went later on with his son to speak to some people from Troy. And when they went back to Troy, he went back and they started talking about that team that he was would have been a part of in the early 90s, talking about two national championships in their division and a third team that should have won it, and how great those teams were through the 90s and what players came out of there and went on to the NFL and did great things. And his son looked and said, "Dad, man, y'all's teams were awesome. Weren't you at Troy back then?" He said, "Then I had to look at my son and say, no, son. See, I had the attitude that I was better than Troy. I had the attitude that I was a D1 player and I shouldn't be at this little school in South Alabama. My attitude was wrong." He said, "God was trying to bless me. God was trying to use that injury and that instance I was going through in life to put me on a team with great members, great people, to do great things on that team. I could have helped that team, and I could have been with some great people, but I did not see what God was trying to do. I did not see that God was actually trying to bless me and put me where He wanted me, and I gave up and I quit. I lasted half a season, my attitude, my arrogance, I couldn't take it that I was there, and I left." No matter what we go through in life, no matter what you have come up, you will have obstacles in life. But staying focused and building that relationship with God and knowing that He has a plan and He will work you through and you can get through anything and He will bless you. He works all things for the good of those who believe and are called according to His purpose. And I want you to know that the world you go in does not believe. And I love how God lines things up. And how Joel's message this morning, I've already heard it once, so we'll get to hear it again. But I love how Joel's message lines exactly up with the world that we're going in and the things that we do. And in 1 Samuel 17:47, David says, "And all those who are gathered, all those who are gathered here will know that it is not by sword, that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Your life, your future, when we try to take things on and do things ourselves and leave him out of our life, we do not have that cross member built up and put to where others and forces can reach it. When we don't have that relationship and we don't have our relationships with others built up, we leave it to where it is vulnerable for the attack of Satan and those around us and our own self. So I hope as you go into this world, as you go into your future and where you are, that you will follow his ways, that you will be intentional. Be intentional in building that relationship. The world is not going to spurn you on into it. It has to be you making your mind up. It has to be you being in this word. The gifts that we give you today are Jesus calling, and we're giving you an application Bible with your names on it so that you can go into the world, so that you will have the tools to stay in this word. This is where you build the relationship, opening this book, being with fellow believers, surrounding yourself with people who are positive and will spurn you on in the things of the Lord, to be positive people so that when you become husbands, when you become wives, you can lead your spouses, your children in ways of victory, prosper. We see so much in our world today, marriages are under attack, relationships at work, job, everything is under attack. We cannot fight it off on our own. We do not have the strength. It is only by him. It is only through the protection of God's hedge of protection on us, through our relationship. I want you to prosper those around you. I want you to be prosperous, but it is only through being in his word and staying close to him and seeking him in all that you do. And I pray that on you, because we as humans, we go out and we think we can do things on our own and we don't need his help. But through him come his blessings, and through him all things are possible. So this morning I like to take and use one of our messages from Jesus Calling and just read to you, challenge you, and I just want to pray over you. And this one says, "Live first and foremost in my peace. Gradually, you will become more aware of me than the people and places around you. This awareness will not detract from your relationship with others. Instead, it will increase your ability to give, to love, and to give encouragement to them. My peace will permeate your words and your demeanor. You will be active in the world, yet one step removed from it. You will not be easily shaken because my enveloping presence buffers the blow of our problems. In this path I have set before you, and as you follow it wholeheartedly, you experience abundant life and peace." Psalms 89 says, "Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence. O Lord, they rejoice in your name all day long. They exalt you in righteousness." Seniors, let me pray for you. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the memories we've shared. Lord, I thank you for the moments that we have been in worship together, that we have felt your presence, that I've seen you work in their lives, God. God, I thank you, and I pray that you will just help them. God, that you will help them in their times of need, their times of struggle. God, I pray that you will just help them to look back to the mountaintop experiences that we have had as a group, as individuals, that we have experienced you, God. May they look back and remember and reflect and know that you are real, that you are present, that if we call upon your name, you are our help. You are our strength. And God, I pray that you will just give them discernment, open their eyes to what is going on around them in their world and what they're going into, and give them strength to rise above, to depend on you, to know that though the world may reject your message, Lord, help us to stay true to you. I pray that you let the world not influence them to turn away from you, but help them to see the ways of the world, to spurn them more to you, that the ways of the world are decisive, divisive, evil. And God, that we need you. Lord, I pray your blessings on them and all that they do in Christ's name. Amen. Parents, the challenge for us, it wasn't easy for Mary to send her baby into the world, to send her baby to the cross. I can imagine, I watched The Passion of the Christ, and I can imagine as he was sitting there getting beat and as Mary was on the outside of her, outside watching, looking in. I can only imagine she wanted to go in there and just club those Roman guards and soldiers and just take her baby. She would have been thrown down and executed right there. But in so many ways today, that's exactly what we do. We go in and we protect our babies. We protect them from so many things and try to just tear anybody apart who comes against our child. But we're called to send them into the world. We're called to send them into the world with the purpose and power of God. So what is our role? Our role is to pray, to be in prayer, to be in constant prayer. And I'm thankful and I'm blessed that I had a mom praying for me because I needed it so much. I needed it. So be in prayer. Encourage them. Send them verses. Let them know you're lifting them up. Fathers, that's our role already. We are called to be the spiritual leaders. We should be there now. We should be there encouraging them. Encouraging them in their studies. Encouraging them in their sports. Whatever they are a part of. But do we make sure that we are encouraging them in their walk with Christ? How are you? Where are you today? Are you with a faith group? Are you reading? Are you in the Word? Are you in worship? We need to support them and lift them up in those ways. And that's our challenge today. All right. So we will start with the presentation. Annalise was at state track. She couldn't be here today. Annalise Bradshaw. Kale Dollar.
I forgot I was going to have a mic.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Brandon Fusell. Blair Glasgow.
Thank you, Blair. Congratulations.
Ross Harrell. Thank you. Jack Jones. Had just a couple extra pictures that Ken was supposed to take out, but good gravy. It never ends. Allie Mayo. And Daniel McCauley. She couldn't be here with us today. Maley. Isaac Nixon. Chase Pierce. Brody Perry. Jacob Roberts. Ella Seymour. Evan Taylor. Hunter Taylor. Caitlin Upson. All right, mamas, this is your graduating class. Y'all give them a hand. Y'all stay up there for a few minutes and let us get some pictures. Moms, if y'all want to grab pictures real quick. Congratulations, seniors.
Definitely congratulations to all of our graduates and their families. We're proud of you. And God's word is filled with promises. And we stand on those today and hereafter. It's hymn number 410. It's our offertory hymn today. So in a moment we'll stand. I'll invite all of our youth choir members to come and get their mics turned on and get ready for the special music coming up. So let's stand and sing Standing on the Promises, hymn number 410. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. On the last stanza, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Father, we ask now that you be with this senior class. We pray, Father, that you would bless them in all of their future endeavors. And Father, we ask that you watch over them and that you protect them. And Father, now, as we come to this part of the service where we give back to you a portion of that, that you've so graciously given to us. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver. And Father, that the funds would be used for your ongoing work here within this church and within this community. Forgive us wherein we failed you, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
This time the youth choir will sing a song that we've prepared especially for today. The gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16 is known as that, for God so loved the world. We're going to sing, and we hope that you'll be blessed. This is a beautiful song to the tune of Shenandoah. So listen closely, take hold of the gospel, carry it through the rest of your life.
Thank you. Rock of ages, I'm standing on.
Thank you, youth choir, Ken, and choir for leading us this morning. Thank you, Warren, for a challenge to our seniors. And we're going to look at the scripture that Warren wanted us to look at. I won't read the whole passage, but 1 Samuel 17, verses 20 through 51, it is the great story of David and Goliath. Most of you know the story. We're talking about transitions in life today. And so our seniors in high school are going to transition from what most experts call the first phase of life. First phase of life, elementary school, middle school, high school. And then you transition into that second phase of life. And the second phase of life is higher education or military or the job market, family building. That's the second phase of life. And so in the second phase of life, you're going to face bigger challenges than you faced in the first stage of life. In the first stage of life, you're at home, mom, dad, Warren even talked about, we try to protect you, try to help you, and all of those things. Well, even if you're living with mom and dad in that second stage of life, you still face bigger challenges and bigger giants than the ones that you faced in the first stage of life. And so the question for today, our character for today is David. How do you face the challenges that you will be faced with in life? So in this great story, there are two armies. There's the Philistine army and there's the Israelite army. And they are on either side of a mountain. And there's a valley in between them. And so the Philistines send out a guy named Goliath. And he is the man. And so he has this interesting, great, actually, proposal for the rest of their army and the Israelite army. Two men, me against one of the Israelites, will meet in the middle and we'll have a battle. Whoever wins that battle, that fight, then you, that person will then claim the other's army. And that's not a bad proposal, especially if you're a Philistine, because Goliath came from Gath, and Gath, they grew giants kind of like Yosemite grows sequoias. So David sees the fear in the Israelites' eyes, and he says, I'll fight the giant. Who is this Philistine that he defies the armies of the living God? King Saul says, you're too small. You're too little. There's no way this giant, Goliath, will eat you for breakfast. But David insists, and King Saul finally relents and gives him his permission. He puts his armor on him so that he'll be covered in battle. But the armor's too big. It's too bulky for David. So David takes it all off. All David needs is five smooth stones and a slingshot. Goliath laughed. Are you kidding me? This is what you send out to fight me? But David never wavered. And he shouted back, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David puts the stone in the slingshot. We know the story. He twirls it around. He lets the rock go. It hits the Goliath, the giant Goliath, right in the forehead, embeds into his head. It stuns him. He falls back and falls to the ground. David then goes over, grabs Goliath's sword from his sheath, takes it out, and chops his head off. An incredible victory. Now, I said this morning in early worship, all right, just picture the Philistines and picture the Israelites on either side of the mountain. What are they doing? When Goliath stumbles and Goliath falls, and this little kid walks over, grabs this huge sword from Goliath, pulls it out of its sheath, and chops his head off, what in the world are the other armies doing as they stand there and watch this? The Bible doesn't tell us. I can only imagine. Can you imagine? They're all standing there. I can only picture in my head everybody, Philistines, Israelites, standing there looking out at this valley going. And every now and then somebody nudging the friend going, I would have had to seen that with my own eyes. Can you imagine? Did you just see that? Did you just see what that kid did to that giant? I can only imagine. There's a lot of things that we can gain from that. I mean, there are so many things that we can observations from that story, but I just want to cover real quickly, just three real quick. First of all, this: live in faith, not in fear. You live for God rather than yourself. Faith is stronger than fear, but more often than not, and that's exactly the point that Warren was trying to communicate to you seniors, you live in a world that is running scared out of their minds. We live in a world filled with fear. Fear. We're afraid of everything. Seniors, you're going out into a world that has taught you how to live in this fear. We're scared of everything. Did y'all know? I don't know if you know this or not, but by 2030, y'all don't, seniors, your moms and dads are going to get really mad at me for saying this, but y'all don't even worry about education. Y'all don't need to worry about a job. Y'all don't need to be worried about anything. By 2030, the earth's going to be over again, as predicted. It's climate change. It's live in fear. Fear. Scared to death. Do y'all know there's a 30% chance of rain tomorrow? Fear. We're scared to death. One of the young couples after early worship was over with said, man, my mama used to not live this way, but she's now scared of her own shadow. We can't get her out of her home. When it's 10% chance of rain, she will not walk out the door. I wish so badly that you could have preached that sermon to my mama. That's what he said to me. We live in this thing, this debilitating, this thing called fear. And my goodness, you seniors, boy, you happened to go to high school through the COVID-19 years when you watched the American and the world culture just live in complete and utter fear. David Jeremiah says, if we live in fear, faith is God-centered, and it recognizes a cause bigger than yourself. It leads to successful living. If we live in fear, it's self-centered, and it is all about you, and it leads to insecurity and death. If you look around our world today, what you'll see is fear. And fear leads to insecurity and death. Fear is no way to live. Yes, senior. All of us. This is a good word for all of us, because if you get to be my age, the giants just get bigger and bigger. The obstacles, seniors, as you grow older, the obstacles just get bigger and bigger. The giants just get bigger and bigger. The challenges just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And they never, ever, ever, ever go away, senior. And fear is no way to live. David lived in faith, not fear. Secondly, he lived for a cause greater than himself. Third, he discovered his mission. When Jesus was 12 years old, his parents were frantically searching for him. Why did you need to search? Didn't you know where I would be? Didn't you know where I would be in my Father's house? And then 21 years later, as he was dying on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And those two statements reveal this totally fulfilled, God-glorifying life. David discovered his mission. Jesus discovered his mission. So what is your mission? What is my mission? What is all of our mission? Lucado ends this chapter on David by saying this: focus on giants and you will stumble. Yes. Focus on God and your giants will tumble. Lift your eyes, giant slayer. The God who made a miracle out of David stands ready to make a miracle out of you. So we're all going to, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, early worship, late worship, senior in high school, senior adult, whatever it is, we're all facing giants, challenges. too big for us to handle on our own. And we can live in fear, we can live in faith, we can live for a cause greater than ourselves, or we can live selfishly and focus only on me, just like the world teaches you to do. We can discover our mission, the mission that God has given to each of us, or we can just flounder. The greatest word and the greatest giant that was slayed is found in the New Testament. It's the story of Jesus. He died on a cross, and 3 days later, His Father raised Him from the dead. And that great story of the gospel gives you and I life, everlasting, abundant, and free. Father, thank You so much for the gift of life in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Father, for the great story of David and Goliath, a young boy who just simply would not live in fear, who had a mission to live for his Heavenly Father and to stand up for his Heavenly Father. And the great miracle of that little boy killing that giant. And how that story then pushes us to the story of the gospel. It looked like Satan had won. It looked like Satan had claimed victory. Jesus, the Messiah, was dead. But God, You gloriously raised Him from that grave. And because of that, we have life in the name of Jesus. Father, we're thankful for the life that has been given to us. We celebrate that life today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is, "Wherever He leads, I'll go." If you've never ever trusted Christ, then we encourage you today to make that decision. If you need to come and pray or join our congregation right here at First Baptist, do that now as we stand, as we sing.
Take up thy cross and
be seated. First, this morning in our early worship, we had the Proctors that came today. That's James and Allison Proctor. And they came knowing Christ as Savior and Lord and followed Christ in believers' baptism, wanting to be a part of First Baptist Church. All right, next. And we had Mallory Wolford coming today. Jake is her husband, and there's Big Mac with them. Jake's been a member of this church, been a part of this church since the day he was born. And so Mallory comes today saying she has followed Christ and believers' baptism, is coming today to say that she wants to be a part of First Baptist Church. All right, next. Baby dedication next Sunday during the early worship on Mother's Day. And if you'd like to be a part of that and haven't not done so yet, then call or talk to Micah Gilmore, our children's minister, and we'll put all that together. All right. Vacation Bible School sign up, Old Lord's Supper Table. Kids parent meeting 2 weeks from today. Fellowship Hall, 4 o'clock, right before we do our, we're doing our 5 o'clock, we're doing our outflow. If you haven't given money to that, please make sure you do. We usually collect around $10,000 or $15,000 for outflow. So if you haven't given to outflow, please make sure you do that. Will be 2 weeks from today at 5 o'clock. All right. Men's Gridiron Conference. Elliot Rowe and Brian Harrell are the ones who are doing that. They've got 15 spots available, and some have already signed up on the Old Lord's Supper Table. So do that. All right. And the Mature Adults Low Country Bowl, Tuesday night, 5 o'clock. Once again, sign up on the Old Lord's Supper Table. All right, Ken, got anything? All right, let's all stand. Seniors, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, head up to the fellowship hall for our lunch. And let's stand and close by singing the doxology.
Praise God from above.